the metrics that I check every day, like our growth is just like boom, parabolic growth right now.
I love
And to
it.
me, those are the things that we should be checking in Bitcoin. Like check out the hash rate, check out the all the you know any of the how many wallets are holding long-term holders and how many people are exchanging Bitcoin sats in commerce right now. I mean, everything's at all-time highs.
Up into the
And
right.
so if we execute on all fronts like we're doing right now, and you guys continue to connect plebs with more jobs and find these positions, guys, we're already Bitcoin was unstoppable anyways. Like we're ushering in hyper Bitcoinization faster. Like
Welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast, where we interview entry-level to C-level executives about working in the Bitcoin industry. Learn about their interview process, what they do day to day at their Bitcoin job, and advice for current job seekers looking to work full-time in Bitcoin. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwatchke, and today I'm joined by my friend, Brian DeMint, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at the Orange Pill App. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
My pleasure, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, I see you got, even got it in the background there. But
You know what?
before we get to
I
the
try.
orange,
I
yeah,
had to
before we get to,
shift
yeah,
some stuff around. My bad.
it's all good. I'm curious, what's your story before Bitcoin? What were you doing professionally?
So right out of college, so I went to college. I was working on my master's in forensic psychology. I wanted to be an FBI criminal profile. Like I wanted to hunt serial killers because as a kid, I watched way too many horror movies, and I thought that sounded like a good idea. Turned out that's not something I wanted to do. So I stopped before I went to the academy for that. My wife and I got married, and we actually started a business right out of college, and we still run a version of that business to this day. We've changed it. My wife was presented with an opportunity to open a tanning salon when we were 22.
Okay.
I had never been to a tanning salon before or anything like that, and there was this kind of interesting business opportunity for us to take one over, and so we did. And we over the years we were getting more of like the holistic crowd that was coming in, the people that are really into sunshine. But you know, if it was a cloudy day or it was rainy, you know, rainy season, or it was, you know, they work all day, and so we were starting to get more holistic people, which is weird because you the industry was kind of built around like these bacon ladies, you know, like these ladies who just have like leather skin and things like that. But then
Yeah.
over time, it was more like professional athletes we were getting and things like that. That's actually how I got into martial arts. There was a bunch of professional MMA fighters that were coming in and using our services. And anyways, so we started morphing into light therapy. So we got more into infrared saunas and red light therapy. Now we do, you know, anything that's like light-based treatment that has a therapeutic benefit to it. Plus we do cold plunges and salt rooms and all that kind of
And this is
stuff
probably
as well.
before that all that was cool.
It was, yeah. We've been really benefiting from like the wave of Joe Rogan
Oh, yeah.
and you know all those guys talking about it. Because yeah, we've been doing that for the other versions of light therapies for over 10 years. And we started that, yeah, like I said, in 2008. And it's called actually, it's my hat. I got my hat on. It's called Salt and Light. And we have a small chain. We just started licensing not that long ago. So we sold our first license. We have our second licensee on the way. So we're growing pretty fast now. Because of this wave of popularity around kind of alternative holistic treatments and that sort of stuff. So it's pretty cool. And it's so weird how my Bitcoin thing has converged with our wellness chain. Like I always thought these were like two different things. There was like the wellness thing that I was doing, and there was Bitcoin, and they're almost one in the same crowd now. It's pretty cool. And by the way, we've accepted Bitcoin in our business for about 10 years now. So that's kind of a cool feat. Now, not a lot of our customers were, you know, in a position where they were paying with Bitcoin, but we have, you know, we've been accepting it for a long time. So that's always kind of a badge of honor. People ask like, hey, how long have you been in Bitcoin? But the thing that I'm most proud of is that our business has been accepting it for, you know, quite a substantial period of time now. I say 10 years. Anything that's over 7 years, I say that now. I think it's been like 7.5 years or 8 years now that we've been
That's
doing
ancient
it.
in Bitcoin time,
That's
so.
ancient, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said you were 22 when you did that. Did you go to university?
I did. I went to it's called Cal Baptist, California
Okay.
Baptist University here in Southern California. My wife and I went there. We worked full time. We saved a bunch of money while we were going to school, and that's how we started our business right out of school. And then we also financed the other half of our business on really high interest rate credit cards. So thank God that it worked out.
Interesting. Okay. So did you know your whole life then that you wanted to go into entrepreneurship or did it kind of just fall into your lap?
So I always knew we wanted to be entrepreneurs at some point, but we were both planning on a career first. And it just seemed like the natural progression is you get into your 30s or 40s once you kind of establish yourself. So you have some money, you have a, you know, some established credit. I mean, when we went into the banks for loans, first, before we started the business, we tried to get a loan for a house, but that was the GFC. Our bank literally laughed us out of the bank. Then we went back for a business loan and they said, we laughed you out for the home loan, like, we're not going to give you a business loan, like, you're even crazier. So that was a pretty interesting wake up call. But yeah, no, we had always planned to do the career thing and then the entrepreneur thing, because that was always something that we wanted to do. But I think a lot of people believe that they need to get their ducks in a row before they do it. And that's true to some degree. But I think most people feel like they need permission to do it. I think that's what holds a lot of people back. And so just the realization that we didn't need to ask anybody if we wanted to start our own business, that was like a pretty profound moment for us. They're like, we can just do this. Like, you don't have to go and like ask somebody. Like, there's not somebody that approves this. I mean, we get into such this big brother, big government. And obviously there's regulations and things, and there's, you know, different licenses you get, but just like I was expecting, there's like a business office, like, you know, the Chamber of Commerce. I always thought there was something like you had to go to the Chamber of Commerce and ask them if you can start a business. No, yeah. It's nothing like that.
Right. Right. And I think that also alludes to the Bitcoin space and job seekers in this space. Like, no one's stopping you from just creating Bitcoin content, doing something for Bitcoin, working on a decentralized protocol, something related to Bitcoin. So yeah, just do it. And then down the line, you kind of figure out things along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So I guess you never really had a fiat job in that sense.
In college I did. I worked as a valet. I worked construction. And that was the first time, 'cause I got paid in construction in cash. And I remember when the bank told me, they're like, yeah, we can't count any of your construction wages. And I was like, oh, well, like I can show you the cash right now on the table. Like, you can see that I've earned it. And they're like, yeah, that's not how this works. They didn't even want the fiat. So
makes no sense. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's a great background. So now let's jump over to Bitcoin. What's the full Bitcoin story? And then we'll bridge the gap between the two.
Yeah. So there was entrepreneurs that were kind of my entrepreneurial mentors a few years in. So, you know, we started the business then in 2008. I started learning about Bitcoin. I think the first time I heard about it or had friends that buy it was like 2013. And so that was kind of, I was pretty disappointed hearing these guys I looked up to that were going down this rabbit hole of Bitcoin. I thought that was something that was just like, oh, you know, all the things that people say right off the bat. It was a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. And so you kind of, if you don't know about Bitcoin, you kind of disrespect, or you kind of tend to lack respect for the people that are in Bitcoin, because it seems like they're being stupid. It really does. Sure. They're like, they're just trying to get rich quick or something like that. And so I remember I was trying to disprove them. I started studying it because I wanted to disprove them. And that's the amazing thing about truth, is that it doesn't break. You will break. And so if you ask honest questions, and if you're humble enough to, you know, accept the answer for what it is, and that's just what it is. I realized I never asked what money was. My skepticism was equal to my lack of knowledge. And so the inverse is true. The more knowledge I had, the more I believed in it, the more I understood it. And so that was my process. And so started buying and holding. We were still stinking broke from our business. Like, we were putting everything back in our business. So even though I was buying Bitcoin, I, you know, obviously wish I had more money to spend at the time, but, you know, it was what it was.
And what year was this?
That was 2013, I probably bought my first Bitcoin at the beginning of 2014.
Okay, got it. And then I have this sitting right here too, a book you wrote. It's called Bitcoin Evangelism. So walk me through 2014 to today, between writing the book and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I started out Bitcoin only. I think it's just because all I knew about was Bitcoin and the altcoins were out there. But like, the altcoins were for the people that were kind of really into the industry. Like, you were looking beyond Bitcoin, or the people that, you know, oh, all the gains in Bitcoin were gone. People still say that about altcoins. All the gains in Bitcoin are gone, so you're going to the altcoins. So I didn't really care about altcoins at first. Then the 2016 ICO craze, that just, you know, sucked me into it. Sucked me, all my friends that were into Bitcoin at the time got into the crypto space. So from 2017 to 2019, I was part of the marketing team for a blockchain project called Athenium. We were decentralizing education on the blockchain, yada yada yada.
Sure.
And it was through some of the experiences in that. I mean, I I really appreciate my time in that. And the guys on that team had genuinely good motives. The team, the guys on that team were really, really good guys. But we just, as a group, we didn't understand the fundamental tenet of Bitcoin in terms of decentralization. We thought we were decentralized because we knew that we were a proof of stake chain and everybody had masternodes, and we had hundreds of people that ran their own masternodes, so their own validators. So literally it's decentralized with all these people. But then at one point we surveyed our masternode operators because we had a big Telegram group and we kind of knew most of the people that it, that were running nodes and masternodes and stuff like that. And we said, where are you guys hosting these? Are you hosting these on your own server computers, or are you outsourcing these Amazon Web Services? And something like 98, 99% of our people were hosting them on Amazon Web Services. So even though it was actually different people that owned them, at any given point, Amazon could have shut it off. Now, it was such a low profile project that Amazon's not going to, you know, do that. But had we really begun to decentralize education and had that really the mission taken hold, Amazon could have done something like what they did to Parler, the social media app. They could have just shut them off. And so that was a big wake up moment. There was a couple other moments. But at the end of that, I resigned and realized that, hey, there's just a huge lack of understanding. And a lot of people that got caught up in the crypto altcoin phase. And so I think there's lessons to be learned. And I even think that there's a place for the crypto market. Now, I'm not saying for as far as your investment or anything like that, but I think that a Bitcoin maxi could even make a case for some reasons why it's okay for crypto to exist. You know, you could say things like, it's like a research and development arm for Bitcoin. They can move fast and break things. We don't want to experiment on the Bitcoin blockchain. That's not where experimentation should happen. We don't want any failures ever to happen on Bitcoin. But if some sort of DeFi protocol ends up being a really like revolutionary type of technology, then maybe we can build on a second or third layer of Bitcoin. Or you can even say that crypto lends to the decentralization of Bitcoin. You could say that the weaker targets are going to attract the bad guys are going to try to attack those vectors rather than attacking Bitcoin. If you and I and a bunch of guys are hanging out in a nightclub and you've got a gun, all of our buddies have guns, but everybody knows that I'm unarmed and there's bad guys outside that want to rob one of us, they're going to rob me. They're going to rob the weak target because they know I'm the only one that's not armed. And so, so weaker blockchains provide a level of cushion and security for the Bitcoin. So you can make these arguments for why they exist. None of those arguments would encourage people to invest their money in those in that space. And so that was part of the crux of the book, was to write Bitcoin evangelism, not just for no coiners, but for people maybe in the altcoin space. And it's a very soft approach. I'm a Bitcoin maximalist, but I'm definitely not a toxic maximalist by any perspective. If the analogy I use is, if there's the hellfire and brimstone toxic maximalist, I'm more like the Jesus ate with sinners type of maximalist. Like, hey guys, like I get it. I was there too. If you have 100% of your portfolio in altcoins, maybe let's get 30% of your portfolio in Bitcoin. Now let's get 60%. Now, you know, we'll try to progress them over that way. So that's really the tact of the book. And that's where my passion lies, is because I think one of the biggest ways we grow Bitcoin is not just getting no coiners. Imagine if tomorrow the entire crypto market went into Bitcoin. That's a lot of low-hanging fruit of people that could be Bitcoiners tomorrow if they hear a compelling enough message.
Right.
Hey guys, real quick, as a Bitcoin-focused recruiting firm, our goal at Bitcoin Talent Co. is to bring as many professionals into the Bitcoin industry as possible. Since we don't run ads, our one ask is to rate, review, and share this podcast with friends and family so more people can find this show. Thanks. And now back to the interview.
And then, okay, so you wrote the book. This is after your crypto job. Was the reason why you switched back into Bitcoin because you realized that decentralization's one of the key aspects of Bitcoin that makes it different?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was really that masternodes thing. There was one other experience I had where, as a marketing guy, I would get messages all the time of other projects saying, hey, let's announce a partnership between our projects. And they had no intention of actually building any kind of technology together. Yeah. It was just like, let's announce a partnership and then let's dump our coins. I mean, that's literally what they were saying in these messages. I'd get these all the time, especially when it was like, you know, the market was heating up. So I I've shared this before, but I went on an exchange one night and I just wanted to see like how easy is wash trading? Like, is that something you could do? And we had, I think it was CPATEX was an exchange we had our coin listed on. And I went on one night and I bought up, there was only $200 of our coin on the exchange. I said, okay, what happens if I buy up all 200 and now there's no liquidity on the exchange? So I bought up all our coins. They were 2 cents a piece. I sold the next one to myself. I put a sell order out there for a dollar. I then went and bought it from the same account. I didn't even have to log into a different account. That's how janky the site was. Like you could buy and sell it to yourself with your same account. So I sold it to myself for a dollar. So I 50x the price of the coin in one transaction with $1. I thought, okay, well, that's just this exchange. I went out, I looked at CoinGecko and CoinMarketCap. The way apparently those websites work is they aggregate any of the information that's on the internet. And so we went from coin number 1400 in the world to number 398 in the world in the rankings with a $1 transaction. And it said our market cap went up like $5 million because of this one sale. So I sold it back to myself at 2 cents, created the equilibrium in the market. And then I resigned either the next day or a couple of days later because I realized it's like, not only is the decentralization a problem, but the casino aspect of this market, it's worse than the Federal Reserve because the Federal Reserve is one entity that can do that. Now with crypto, you have hundreds or thousands of entities that can do that. And a lot of them are bad actors. We were like trying to be good, and even good motives can, you know, be the path to hell or whatever you say. You know, it can still get people burned even when you have good motives. So it was like, man, I can't morally, I think, stay in this lane. I want to do something productive for the world. And that's why I went the Bitcoin route.
Yeah, I find a lot of Bitcoiners have that moral compass too. I love that. It's funny that you bring up the coin market cap, which essentially what it does is it aggregates, like you said, all the different prices of cryptocurrencies on different exchanges, and then it lists them out 1 through 1,000, whatever it is. The lesson there is that I don't think those numbers are true at all. So like people like to bring up, you know, Bitcoin versus the rest of the crypto market capitalization. I think all those numbers are false and Bitcoin's just light years ahead. And it's the brand. It's what everyone thinks of when you think of cryptocurrency, quote unquote. Yes, thanks for bringing that up. So I want to jump over now to you joining the Orange Pill team. Give me the full background here. How did that go? How did you get a job in Bitcoin?
Well, that's funny. I mean, because you reached out to me for this interview. I just thought, like, this is the perfect guy to talk to in this interview about it. Because I had sent you my book when you were working your previous job. And I thought, hey, like, I need to get some early readers of the book. And so some people like you and Joe Hall and a bunch of other guys were just gracious enough to be early readers, which that's a lot to do. Like, the book's 400 pages. So I understand everybody's not going to get through it. But if people read a section or two, that's great. And so I was catching up. I saw you at Pacific Bitcoin. Me and you were catching up. We just grabbed lunch. You just grabbed lunch, and I saw you in passing, and we were talking for a few minutes. And you know, you were giving me some feedback on the book, and it was really, really helpful. And then you were kind of talking about your passion in Bitcoin is helping people find jobs. And I said, you know what, that's really cool. Like, I have a job, I have a business, and all that kind of stuff. I'm doing this book, which is kind of its own other business, but I still want to work in Bitcoin. Like, that's something I really want to do. And so it was interesting that you had just been talking to me about that. The next conversation I had after talking to you, I was walking around the conference hall and I noticed the Orange Pill app booth. I'd seen it earlier in the day, but there was a bunch of people at it. And so at this time, it was like when everybody was at lunch, so there was nobody there except for Mateo, the founder. And so I'm going to go get the pitch. I wonder what this, you know, Bitcoin social media. Okay, that makes sense. A social media for Bitcoiners. And so, you know, the first thing I said is like, oh, this is cool. You have a social media for Bitcoin. Nice to meet you, Mateo. Nice to meet you. And he said, oh, my name's Mateo. And he goes, it's not a social media. It's social network. Okay, tell me what the difference is on that. And he's like, it's all about making networking in real life connections. And that's what Bitcoin is missing. We have, you know, I don't think I'd ever heard of Nostr at that time. I don't know if it was live at that time, but you know, we knew that we could use things like Twitter and Facebook, and Bitcoiners were connecting over social media and using internet, Telegram and stuff like that. But he saw a hole in the Bitcoin ecosystem of these in real life connections. And it's not that conferences weren't happening and not that Bitcoin meetups weren't happening, but just a place that would help facilitate those things. And in addition to just the bigger meetups, one-on-one meetups? Like, how do you go and say, hey, who's in my neighborhood that is into Bitcoin? We can just go grab coffee or grab a beer or grab a bite to eat or something like that. And so how do you make these really organic connections and stuff? So he's giving me this pitch and I have his undivided attention. But then all of a sudden, I feel somebody kind of next to me, and I'm, you know, looking at Mateo, and he's not really paying attention to me anymore. And I look over, and it's Michael Saylor, and Michael Saylor is getting the pitch as well. And then his marketing girl says, "Hey, come over and take a picture with us." And to Michael Saylor, not to me. And so I step off to the side, and so Mateo's about to get a picture with Michael Saylor. And then she goes, "You know what? Why don't you go ahead and step in too?" And I'm like, "Okay, of course I'll step into this picture." They're standing right in front of the Orange Pill app banner, and I stand right in front of the logo. So Mateo gets a picture with Michael Saylor, but it doesn't even get the logo in it because I'm blocking the logo. And so I actually felt bad about that. He sent me the picture, and I apologize. He goes, "Oh, don't worry about it." He goes, "We're just happy to get these pictures and the photo ops and stuff." He said, "Don't worry about it at all." But I legitimately felt bad. I like photo bombed his yeah. You know, Michael Saylor picture. So the days and weeks after the conference, I had signed up for Orange Pill App. I thought it was a cool idea, but then like as I'm interacting with Bitcoiners on it, I'm starting to tweet about it too. And apparently Mateo liked how I was tweeting and how I was talking about it. And he goes, "Hey, would you like to run our Twitter for a couple weeks?" And I said, "That's a weird question. Like, why would you trust me with your Twitter?"
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but whatever, he sensed something in me that he could trust. And, you know, apparently he knew that he could just change the password back if I did something stupid. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we got a bunch of signups in those 2 weeks. And then he said, "Hey, how would you like to, you know, run our marketing?" And I said, "Yeah, I would love to do that." So it was so crazy how I just talked to you about your passion of connecting people and like finding people work in Bitcoin. And you had said things like people literally just need to show up to stuff like that. You had said that like that was the power of these conferences, is because when you go to them and you look somebody in the eye and they get a sense of you, you get a much better sense of somebody. Like, this is great talking through here. We would have not been able to do this interview otherwise if it wasn't for this technology. Yeah. But when we get to catch up at Pacific Bitcoin, I get to give you a high five and a hug and say what's up. And when you get to, you know, feel kind of the energy of that person, it's just going to go beyond, especially if you're trying to make the absolute best impression on somebody and you can be there in person. It just gives you an unfair advantage that other people won't have. So seeing that I got this job and this part, you know, because I was in person, it really, really stamps this idea of what we're doing at Orange Pill App is making in person, in real life connections and why that's so important. And beyond that, we can get into the hyper Bitcoinization and all that kind of stuff. I think that it leads to that, those types of things. But this is where if we're crawl, walk, run, the crawl phase or the walk phase we're in right now is really cool. It's fun and organic and it keeps things fun.
I love it. Yeah. I'm surprised no one thought of the idea sooner. So I'm glad to see you guys were implementing it now. Yeah. I think Bitcoin's social layer is very untapped. I'm starting to realize the benefits, like building a small Twitter following, doing these podcasts. There is so much opportunity out there right now to connect with the Bitcoin community. And if you're job seeking or maybe trying to build a new business in the Bitcoin space, that's what you got to do. You need to get in front of people, other Bitcoiners. They'll have great ideas for you. They'll connect you with other Bitcoiners. It's just this digital age nowadays, we need to make sure we get in person too.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question real quick? I know it's not my podcast, but yeah. I'm just curious because I've been getting this question more. I think people, because the market's ramping up. And so people are like, okay, this is, you know, and it's going to be, I think the same way that there's going to be latecomers to the Bitcoin market in terms of buying Bitcoin, like they buy at the peak. I think we're also going to get people that come in at the peak of the market. They're like, "Where are the Bitcoin jobs?" And it's like, everybody's, they're all taken, you know, that type of thing. I mean, that's probably not true because I think as investment comes in, there will be more opportunities and things like that. But I believe that now is the time that you're going to get the best pick of, you know, of the jobs and maybe 100%. Opportunities you wouldn't have otherwise gotten and things like that. But so anyways, I get this question a lot is like, what are the things I should be doing if I'm trying to get a job in Bitcoin? Like, should I be just cold DMing people? Should I be getting on the phone with people? I tell them like, yeah, make sure you show up to the big events. But they're like, well, then the next one I can get to 6 months away, you know, how do I, so what would your kind of suggestions be for somebody? Cause I do get hit up on that all the time.
Yeah. First thing is authenticity. So that's really understanding Bitcoin and why it's different from the rest of the cryptocurrencies. Okay. If I'm interviewing someone for a job and they're bringing up Web3, blockchain technologies, all that kind of stuff, I'm like, oh, you don't really get it. You're not going to be a great culture fit. I'm probably not going to pass you on in the next round unless you're an absolute killer at what you do in your job. So make sure you understand why Bitcoin is different than the rest. Just be an authentic person and yeah, just be a Bitcoiner. So from there, I would say start creating Bitcoin content, anything related to Bitcoin, just what I call a proof of work project. Okay. So that's doing anything in the Bitcoin space. You could start a blog, you can start writing threads on Twitter, you can start a podcast, you can start coding and I don't know, contribute to a Lightning project, open source Lightning project. You can even, let's just say, pick a random company, Orange Pill App, right? Maybe you see something wrong with their user interface. So you go and make a mock-up of how smart. I think I could do this better. So and smart. I send this to Brian. I send this to Matteo, the founder, and say, hey, this is how I think you could do better with it. I'm guaranteeing you 9 times out of 10, at least you'll get an answer. And then from there, you never know. There's going to be an opportunity.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Putting yourself out there, creating that content, just doing something to contribute to Bitcoin, Bitcoin companies, has got to be the top thing in your mind. Especially right now in the bear market, you start getting a track record behind you. So do this for a couple months. Now you have something to point to. You can put this on your resume. You can talk about an interview. And then from there, it's exponentially easier, I think, to finally secure a job, even get interviews once you start doing that. Because then people will start recognizing your work, opportunities will start coming to you, and the ball just really gets rolling. But it comes down to just starting, putting that content out there and being authentic.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. And that reminds me of a tweet you sent out. And I remember thinking that tweet was so spot on for my experience. And because you'd said that, now you said that the proof of work thing, I've seen you say that before.
I say it over and over. Yeah.
You always have good content on Twitter with that stuff, especially. And you said something about put it out there for like 6 months and just see what happens. Like be consistent for, you said something about that. I remember you saying 6 months. And then I went back and I did the math from the time that I had published my book to the time that I got hired at Orange Pill App was exactly 6 months, almost to the day. And I'm like, dude, he nailed that time frame. And yep. So yeah, looking, I didn't think of the book as a proof of work project. I thought I want this book out there as a tool because when the bear market or when the bull market comes, everybody texts me and I don't want to text answers about Bitcoin. I just want to have a resource like here, take the book.
That's exactly why I started too.
That was why I wrote the book. And then you're right. Now, like looking back at it, I'm like, it was 6 months and of like producing content or producing something, you know, consistently and being in the market, being present and you know, having this proof of work thing. So yeah, man, now that you say that, it kind of brings all this stuff together that I've heard you say before. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I'm sure listeners of the podcast, I say it every single podcast. I'm sure I sound like a broken record, but people need to hear it because not enough people are doing it. I think the issue is staying consistent too. Like once you start, don't stop. I've been writing just about 1 year now on Twitter. I went from 0 to 12,000 followers now. That's awesome. Just because I show up every single day. This podcast, I'm on episode, this is probably going to be like 27 or something like that. Show up every single week. So yeah, it's just life lessons, I think, in general,
nice.
Too.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, cool. I want to talk more about Orange Pill App. The company itself, how big are you guys? How many employees? And what's the company culture like?
So we're all in different places. We have like our dev team. There's just a handful of devs and some of them are in Europe. Some of them are stateside. We have pretty high profile devs, like guys that they work for companies where they're like, this wouldn't be good if we like said that we're working on a Bitcoin project, but like
Father Bitcoiners is my call.
Yeah. He works for a FANG company and like super high profile. And he worked with, Steve Jobs on iTunes, like in the back in the day. So these really high profile guys. Yep. Anyways, but it's a relatively small team. I mean, like the biggest portion is the dev team. Like I said, it's like less than a handful of guys. And then Matteo and myself, and then we have a big advisory team. So the advisory team is actually where a lot of our brainstorming, I mean, they're advisors, but they're really part of the process because most of what we do right now is the devs build the product and then we go out and we promote it and talk about it and get people on it and get people connected. From there, a lot of the work is done by the plebs. Like they're creating meetups, they're creating events, they're doing this stuff. So we, you know, advertise it and we try to make people aware of it. But there's not a lot of we don't need a lot of different roles in the company. So it's a very finely tuned machine at this point because it's tech, you know, it's the devs have all the heavy lifting to do. If something breaks, they got to go fix it. And they're beasts, man. When we have a new feature that's going to launch, like they get it crazy fast. And if there's something that needs to be fixed, they fix it. I mean, within hours, like it's so fast. And the advisory team, it's Knut Svanholm, it's Daniel Prince, it's Natalie Brunell, BTC Sessions, Joe Hall, Sean Yeager from Bitcoin Park, Nico from Consensus Network. We have ambassadors like Nico from Simply Bitcoin. And I mean, just we crazy investor, bunch of team of investors and stuff like that too. So the amount of people that are putting equity, sweat equity into the team as well. So it's kind of hard. Like officially there's probably 7 people that work in the company every single day, but there's probably 20 that work in some capacity, but like actually put in real work, whether it's promoting it or, being in meetings and stuff like that.
Is there anyone on the team that's not a Bitcoiner?
No, no, everybody's pretty hardcore Bitcoin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love what you touched upon with the dev team being very high profile, very talented people. I think I'm super bullish on Bitcoin companies over this next decade because of all the talent that's going to come and dedicate their time and energy to working on Bitcoin products and services. So think about this, a guy probably really high up in his career, like really further along, working for a fan company, which is like a Facebook, Apple, whatever, right? He's also contributing his time and energy now into Bitcoin just because he probably wants to, because he wants to push it forward, right? Yeah. And any other industry, attracting talent like that would be nearly impossible. How are you going to match his salary? You're probably not going to. So that's, I think we have the leg up. And my goal at least Bitcoin Talent Co. is let's get all of these closet Bitcoiners into these Bitcoin jobs, part-time, full-time, whatever it may be. Let's let them build and then give it a couple of years and see what happens.
Yeah.
So bullish.
Man, it's so bullish. And there's things that are being built, like Orange Blob. It's going to be I say this because it wasn't my idea. If I were starting a social network, I would have started with no paywall and it would have had probably a bunch of scams on it and spammers and all these things that were unintended because you don't have a paywall, but sure, you would grow faster. You get more users faster. But Mateo had this foresight that no, Bitcoiners will pay for the paywall because they inherently understand as Bitcoiners that if something's free, you're the product, right? Mm-hmm. And so since you pay for it, we're the product. He goes, this could only ever happen in Bitcoin. And so I say all the time, I'm like, that was genius. Like I didn't see that, but that was genius. Like business schools are going to talk about this unique circumstance where this product market fit was perfect, where you could actually charge for a social network because people would gladly pay, $3 a month so that they don't have to worry about like if somebody's DMing them, is it a scam? Is it somebody that's trying to, whatever, like, is it just noise? You're not going to, like, you don't get any of that. Same thing in the job realm right now. You get people that are really, really convicted on what they're doing. Like you said, there's no way we would have been able to match any of our devs' salaries. Like they're doing it for equity and they're doing it for the long term and they're doing it because they're Bitcoiners and they want Bitcoin. They know that this is a step towards hyper Bitcoinization. Like if we execute this the way that it's growing right now, and that's, I mean, whatever, the price of Bitcoin is doing whatever right now, but the metrics that I check every day, like our growth is just like, boom, parabolic growth right now.
I love it.
And to me, those are the things that we should be checking in Bitcoin. Like check out the hash rate, check out how many wallets are holding long-term holders and how many people are exchanging Bitcoin sats in commerce right now. I mean, everything's at all-time highs. If we execute on all fronts like we're doing right now, and you guys continue to connect plebs with more jobs and find these positions, guys, we're already, Bitcoin was unstoppable anyways. Like we're ushering in hyper Bitcoinization faster. Like we don't have to wait. Our grandkids don't have to wait for hyper Bitcoinization. Like we get to partake in that. Like hyper Bitcoinization is going to come in this generation because we're making it happen. And so we're right around the corner from that. And people won't realize, but this is going to hit so fast. Hyper Bitcoinization is going to happen so fast because all the pieces were settling in, and then boom, it's just going to exist. And people are going to be like, wow, that came out of nowhere. But all of us that have been working on this, like we've seen it. It seems almost like a slow process, but to everybody else, it's going to seem overnight and instant.
Oh man, you got me so pumped up right now. I love it. Are you able to touch upon like how many users you guys are at right now and where most of those users are concentrated?
Yeah, we're happy to talk about that. And I think people, you either get like really impressed or really unimpressed. We're at 6,000 paying monthly members. And so for people that are like comparing it to Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever, you're like, oh, well, they have, you know, hundreds of millions of users. Well, this is, we're less than a year old. And two, everybody on there is paying. So they're paying for that privilege to be part of this yeah. social layer of Bitcoin that is free of noise. It's pure signal. And it's just, it's a really refreshing environment when you're on there. Like if you're getting a DM from somebody, you know that they're genuinely interested in starting up a conversation. So yeah, it's 6,000 super, super high quality users. And that's the approach that from day one, Mateo's been very earnest about taking that approach, because everybody that, that maybe cancels early, they're like, doesn't cancel. They sign up, like they create an account and then they realize there's a paywall. So they never signed up, but they didn't, you know, they're not canceling or anything. They'll say, oh, I would do it if you guys had, a freemium model. Like if I could do it for a week and then, but do you know how much spam would come on the platform if we opened up even a day, a free trial? Like, so we are fine with taking the slower growth approach. And again, like I said, even with the slow growth approach, our numbers, our percentage growth is going absolutely crazy, because you know, as of like a couple months ago, we were at 2,000 users. So it's like wow. to get from 0 to 1,000 was like hard. To get from 1 to 2 was pretty hard. Now we're going from 2 to 6, like in
that's
a very
keep compounding too. Oh my gosh. More people tell each other. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, and that's the other thing is you would get early on, you get somebody that signs up and they were the only person in their city. And they're like, well, I'm trying to meet other Bitcoiners in my city. And so a lot of times those people would cancel, but here's how cool these Bitcoiners are. Cause that's how I would think is, yeah, there's nobody in my area. Why would I use this app? I would cancel. So the email I send is, hey, I totally get why you cancel. But just so you know, every network starts with a single node, just like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And Bitcoiners go, you know what? You're absolutely right. You know what? I'm going to stick around. They'll tell us, like, I'll stick around for 6 months. You know what? And I've had people that went from canceling to, you know what? I just signed up for a year. I prepaid for a year because what you said, I'm going to be the first node in my area. And sure enough, they emailed me.
I'm actually one of those, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. So dude. I told you before, I'm like living digital nomad life, going a couple months in different states, cities. Yeah. When I got to Montana here, there was like one or two, like maybe one other person on it and within like a 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, I'm just going to leave it on because it's a couple bucks a month. And if other people come to the area, see them on the app, then that will help benefit so much. It's not really much out of my pocket. So love it.
Well, and like the cool thing is people will give us the feedback, you know, a month later, 2 months later, they're like, yeah, you know what? I got three people in my area and I'm in a pretty remote area. Like that's pretty good. If you go to LA or you go to, you know, New York or Florida or whatever, like, or Canada per capita, we have the highest concentration of Bitcoiners in Canada. So you go to these hotspots and you're like, wow, there's 40 people in my area. So there's some people where the value prop's really high. And there's other people like you that are like, yeah, you know what? I'm investing in the future. But again, that would only happen in Bitcoin. Imagine if TikTok tried to start off with the paywall. Like it just wouldn't have worked from day one. Like that's not a high conviction consumer in that market. And but flash forward to, you know, I think the bull market's gonna, you know, be this next bull market's gonna be unlike anything we've ever seen. The cross section of people in this app will be a concentration of the wealthiest demographic in the world, a very diverse demographic. We have people all over the world, but in any given region, they're going to be the cross section of wealthiest people in the world. There's going to be so much demand for the people in this app. And guess what? We don't sell advertisements. So the demand for these people isn't going to come through, oh, Orange Pill apps are all of a sudden going to sell these people's data. No. We don't have to, because the people have already paid ahead of time. We don't have to sell user data.
Yeah.
The way that people will be able to access these people is by accepting Bitcoin at their business. We're launching our merchant section later this year. And all you have to do is just put your business on there and say, we accept Bitcoin.
Yep.
We're not selling data or anything like that. We're just creating this economy. That's how you monetize this really wealthy demographic, is by just engaging in commerce with them. Like, it's so exciting to see how we're kind of game theorying this thing into existence. And so, man, I mean, think about it. What's the value proposition for like Twitter? Like there's a lot of users on there. That's great. But you don't know, you know, some are really high quality users. Some are really low quality users are fake. Everybody in Orange Pill app is a super high quality user. And so if I'm a business and I want to tap into that network, like, yeah, I can do that this afternoon just by throwing on a, we accept Bitcoin Sign, and now we're plugged into this social layer of Bitcoin. Yeah. We have, and I can see the demand. I'm like, well, there's 60 Bitcoiners in my area. As soon as I say I'm accepting Bitcoin, they're going to stop in the next week or two. I'm going to have 60 new customers because Bitcoiners support Bitcoin businesses.
Yeah.
The game theory and the path to hyper Bitcoinization because of these connections we're going to be able to make is really, really exciting.
That's awesome, man. I think that's a very logical next step. It's great to see. Do you guys have like a map in the app where you can see like different businesses around you accepting Bitcoin?
That's coming. So we're partnering with BTC Maps. So that's the partnership we have with them. That's going to be in when the merchant section launches. We're kind of using their infrastructure, and they have a great service.
Yeah.
What they just don't have is the demand. So they have the supply side, but we have the demand side. We have the Bitcoiners that are holding, the sats. And so it's a match made in heaven.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, just seeing people living around me plus businesses that are accepting it all in one place and being able to reach out and talk to either of them. Yeah. That's going to be very valuable. I'm really excited to see you guys grow here.
Thank you.
What do you do day to day as a chief marketing officer at a Bitcoin company?
Just friggin' troll on Twitter all day. That's all we do, man. No, I'm just kidding. We do interviews like this. We do a lot of, I'm in the app. I spend probably a couple hours per day just interacting with people in the app because people are really freaking interesting in Orangeville app. And so a lot of it's just people that are out there doing the work. They don't work for us. They don't get paid. They're just Bitcoiners on a mission, and they know that the app is like this useful tool. So they're telling us about a meetup. I was just debriefing with a guy who did a meetup last night. He's like, yeah, I had four people at my meetup. I'd been trying to do these meetups and I've never had anybody show up. But then now because of the app, there's people in my area. I was able to post it in the events section. And so these guys showed up. And so I'm breaking down like, well, what was successful? Why did people show up? What, did your meeting go too long? Did it go too short? And tell me about it and tell me some of the stories. And so it's just a lot of genuine conversations of people that are building the Bitcoin social layer. When all is said and done, if the Bitcoin social layer is like a thing, I don't even know if Orangeville App's going to get credit for it, or we shouldn't get credit for it. We might be the app that helps connect people to it, but the building was done by the people. It's done by the people that were event organizing or, taking the time out of their day to meet up with another Bitcoiner. So that's a lot of the stuff. I want to understand those stories. And we have so many cool stories. I mean, we have one of the really popular guys on the app is this NBA player. And when he travels, he goes to different cities.
Is it Deladova?
Yeah. So he'll just hit up people. Then he's like, hey, I'm in whatever, New York tonight. I see you're in the area. Do you want to come to the game? And he'll just DM people in the app. And it's funny because it's like the opposite of spam, right? On Twitter, you're getting some fake person, in Orangeville, some other dude that's looks like a beautiful Asian woman or something, But in Orangeville, you're getting an NBA player that's hitting you up and asking you if you want courtside seats to the game, if you want to come on the court and take pictures after the game and stuff.
That's so cool.
People are getting these experiences that would have just never otherwise happened if it wasn't for Bitcoin. I mean, think about you and me. How much traveling we've gotten to do? You're living the digital nomad life. I get to talk about Bitcoin and write on Bitcoin and all these different things. Bitcoin provides these experiences for people that we would have never otherwise had. Yep. And Orangeville App is just helping magnify that. This new circular economy that's happening is providing all sorts of opportunities and experiences. And it's enriching life for people. And it's really funny because it's just money. Bitcoin's just money, right? The Bitcoiners are kind of right when they say you fix the money and you fix these other things. It does. It has this really liberating way of changing life.
So true. Yeah. And so you guys are seeming like a very high growth path here, growth phase. Are you considering, what are you thinking about in terms of hiring in the future here?
So we just closed our pre-seed round. It was cool. Bitcoin Magazine featured. It was one of their headline stories the other day. We closed our pre-seed round for $250,000. So next round's our seed round. That will probably do a phase of hiring. Customer support roles. Devs are always in demand as we build out more functions and stuff. All of our functionality is always going to be designed around in real life meetups. There's always people that, want more. They say, well, why don't you have a Lightning wallet? Well, you can actually zap people through the app. So we don't need to put our own Lightning wallet in it. We use other Lightning wallets for the infrastructure and you can still use that. But I think people want, different things, but it's no, you know what? we want our devs to focus on these things. Like you said, having a map in there where you're like, okay, what's the closest business? Those are the things that we really want built in the app. And so yeah, devs are always gonna be in high demand, marketing stuff. I mean, we need people boots on the ground. Like if we're an in real life connection type of company, I'd get to every event that I can get to, but there's only so much, you know, so many things that me or Mateo can get to. So yeah,
there's we're gonna need people nowadays too. Uh-huh.
Well, and I think that's probably a lot of Bitcoin. I mean, you'd be able to speak to this, but I think a lot of Bitcoin companies are just going to need the manpower to be at all these different things. There's, yeah. You know, and not just the big conferences, but having the essence of Bitcoin really is around the meetups, like these grassroots. 8 to 10 person mm-hmm. grassroots things. I mean, think about it. If Swan could have one of their representatives at this small meetup, that really shows that they care about the pleb community of Bitcoin. Yeah. And so I think there's going to be a lot of roles where it's just like you're the community liaison to this region and like go out there and help foster that community and make sure it's organized and make sure that people are having a good time. And if people have questions, we have somebody that's knowledgeable that because there's always that, right? There's always that risk of the Web3 guys show up and then this Bitcoin meetup turns into like a Web3 meetup. And so having people that can kind of help curate that a little bit and kind of help protect the Bitcoin community. And it's not that we can't be open to debate and discussion and those types of things. Those are great. But I think that was one of the really big pain points of a lot of Bitcoiners is it's not that they don't mind discussing the merits of Bitcoin versus Web3, but they were really just looking for an evening of talking to people about Bitcoin. And they didn't get that, right? Yep. And so that's been one of the things that Orange Pop has allowed us to do is that these are just Bitcoin-only meetups. But again, as the industry grows, as we get into the next bull run, I think that's probably going to be a recurring theme of something that comes up. So these people that can be representatives from your company in these community events, I think is going to be huge.
Okay. So someone listening right now, knowing that the Orange Pill app will be hiring soon, what's an actual piece of advice they could do right now to set themselves up to land an interview and to eventually land the job too? Because there's going to be probably 1,000+ applications per job, I bet.
Well, so one of the things we've seen is users within our app that are just using the functions that exist now, messaging people, creating events, and then zapping people. There's people that have gone through and just they'll take, you know, 10,000 sats and of their own, which is, you know, $3, not a big deal. And they'll go through and they'll just zap 100 sats to a bunch of people and create all these connections. And so it's
that's
like
so smart, again, actually.
The exact opposite of spam. Like in Twitter, you're going to get these messages you don't want. In Orange Pill app, sorry, some guy goes around and zaps you against your will. You know, he sends you sats against your will. Sorry about that. You know, like, yeah. And then it creates, when somebody sends you money, it tends to stoke up this conversation. And so these people are going and they're becoming kind of like Orange Pill app famous. And we have a leaderboard. So you can see like whoever has the most connections, you can see who's in first place. And we have this joke that if you're in first place, you're the new CEO of the company. And so there's this girl, Mel, just got first place and she took it from this other guy, Michael DeGroote. So these people, and it's all about just helping foster the community and people love it and they're engaging. And part of us, we were worried, like, are these people just going to send, you know, spam messages to make these connections? No, dude, I was talking to these guys and they have 20, 30 different Bitcoin conversations going on at any given time. Wow. Because they're just engaging in the community. So for us at Orange Pill app, this isn't necessarily true for every company, but they're kind of becoming famous on our app. It's encouraging to us to be like, you know what, if the timing was ever right, you could be like the community, I don't know what you'd call that. The community liaison, the community manager, the community overseer, something like that to help continue to foster good and fun community because you're already doing that.
Yeah.
Like that was how I got the job.
You're putting in the work now.
Yeah. That's exactly how I got the job. I was just tweeting about Orange Pill app. And now I have a job where I get to tweet for Orange Pill app. And so yeah, just do the things that you want to do. And if a company finds value in that, then they're going to say, wow, you write content. I mean, I just saw one of the mining companies, Saz Mining, they tweeted out the other day, hey, do you like writing content? Do you like doing this? Do you like doing that? Like we need somebody to do that. Well, guess what? Every company is going to need people to create content. Yep. So if you create content, you said that earlier, start creating content now and start sending it to people. I have people that DM me their tweets and say, hey, check out this tweet. What do you think? Sometimes it's not very good. Sometimes it's really good. guess what? Like we've also gig hired people for certain things. Like, hey, I would love to have a series of you know, tweets that revolve around this type of conversation. What do you think? And sometimes they just help us come up with ideas. Sometimes they'll, you know, do video content for us and stuff like that. Guess what? If a guy's good enough and he's on time with the video content he's providing in a few gig, you know, he does two or three gigs for us, then when we need a full-time video guy, we know exactly who we're going to.
Yep.
I think that's probably the gateway drug for most companies is doing like a one-off project for them. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me, you know, I was somebody who was like, yeah, no, let me do it pro bono. Like, I want to show you that I can do a good job. Let's not make the, when I'm doing a, you know, a gig for you, let's not make it about the money right now. When you hire me, we can talk about the money. That's fine. But let me not, you know, if I tell you I'm going to charge you, then you might be hesitant to let me do this job right now. Like, I'm going to make it so clear to you, the value that I provide to you, that you're going to want to hire me. I mean, that should be the mindset that we have.
Yeah, I love actually you brought up SaaS Mining. We just kicked off the search with them. So we're going to be helping them hire the content manager. Anyone listening right now, if you love being on Twitter all day, LinkedIn, all those sites, you love putting out Bitcoin content, especially for a Bitcoin mining company, and you want to get paid in Bitcoin, shoot me your resume. It's eric@bitcointalent.co. We'll talk about the position some more.
That's a great company. I really like SaaS. I'm a customer of theirs. So that's why I follow them.
I'm soon to be as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. And obviously look out for Orange Pill. I'm sure you guys will be hiring very soon. So Brian, as we wrap this up today, man, this was such a fun interview. One of my favorite yet.
Thanks, man.
How can the audience get in touch with you, download the app, and
what's the contact information? The app's available, Google Play Store and Apple App Store. I couldn't think of that. But anyways, just download the app. It's for mobile only. And just get on there and start making connections. It's one of those things that take a long-term view on it. The connections you make right now are going to have long-term implications. I say this all the time. When it comes to CBDCs, I think it's every Bitcoiner is like pretty sure that CBDCs are going to be a thing here pretty soon. We should always have an optimistic model and a pessimistic model. I'd say in the optimistic model, let's say that CBDCs come out, but Bitcoin acts as a great, and this is actually, I think the optimistic model is going to be the case, but Bitcoin's going to act as a really good check. It's going to act as a free market check on CBDCs. So CBDCs aren't going to be great, but they're not going to be as bad as they would have been because the governments are going to know, or the central banks are going to know that they can't make it horribly tyrannical because people will just flee to Bitcoin. So they need to make it kind of where they can still kind of surveil, but they're not going to block all of your transactions and you know, they're not going to block it so you can't eat meat and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the Bitcoin economy is going to continue to flourish. I mean, we're seeing it happen in real time. It's undeniable. In history, history doesn't rhyme, it repeats. Like do they try to sound humble? No, it repeats. Look at every time you have a fiat currency that's unlimited supply versus a fixed supply currency. The fixed supply currency, Gresham's law, always plays out. It always wins out. So the Bitcoin economy is going to be a thing. The connections you make now mean you're at the ground floor of the Bitcoin economy. If you're finding a job in Bitcoin, if you're starting a Bitcoin company or building it or just providing content in Bitcoin, you're at the ground floor or exchanging your goods and services for Bitcoin, you're at the ground floor of the Bitcoin economy. The example I always use is look at who was at the ground floor of the internet economy. Those guys, for fun now, shoot rockets into space because they have so much money they need to figure out what to do with it. The rising tide lifts all boats. Everybody that was in the early adopters of the internet economy is really stinking rich right now because that economy grew to what it is. That's what's going to happen in the optimistic scenario. In the pessimistic scenario, if CBDCs come out and they're the most atrocious thing ever, every social connection you have the value proposition is never going to have been higher. Like if I can't buy meat because the CBDCs won't let me, well, every rancher's hand that I shook because I met them in real life, you cannot censor an in real life connection unless they put you in jail. Like it's the hardest thing to censor is a in real life connection. It's kind of like a form of freedom technology is in real life connections. Every person that can fix my computer that accepts Bitcoin, everybody that will watch my kids for Bitcoin or any component of my life where I can pay for it in Bitcoin, I'm going to be that much more anti-fragile because I have Bitcoin connections. So whether it's optimistic or the pessimistic scenario, you need to be involved in the Bitcoin economy.
Yes.
Because you're going to benefit most greatly, or you're going to actually, you know, prevent the greatest downside and you're going to have the greatest upside. So That would be my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as reaching out to me, just reach out to me on Orange Pill app, on Twitter and all that kind of stuff as well. My book, it's available on Amazon. I was checking last night. Dude, the thing has been kicking butt. The plebs have been such a huge sport. It was number 7 in the inflation category, like all books in the world on inflation. It was number 7 as of last night. It updates hourly. I think it was like number 8 this morning. And
that's awesome.
It's been as high as number 7. And then if you want to pay for it in sats, just DM me through the Orange Pill app. I'll sell it through Orange Pill app for sats. And the Orange Pill app, you can go to the orangepillapp.com. You can pay in sats for the Orange Pill app as well. So if you only like to transact in Bitcoin, which we actually highly prefer Bitcoin. We don't just say that. Just to put in perspective for people, when somebody pays in fiat, it takes us 90 days for the money to go through Apple and then to hit our bank account.
Oh, wow.
When we get paid in Bitcoin, we get paid within 2.5 seconds. So.
There you go, folks. Hit up Brian, go on the Orange Pill app, hit up me too, I'm on there. And looking forward to meet you guys, especially in person too.
Yeah.
Brian, thanks so much for your time today, man. Like I said before, this was great. So many valuable tips, and I think the audience will really like this episode. So
thanks, brother.
See you soon.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, and I really hope you found value in this podcast. If you are a job seeker looking to work for a Bitcoin company, or you're a part of a Bitcoin company and need help with finding talent for your team, please head over to our website at www.bitcointalent.co and get in touch with our team. Thanks. Until next time.